I guess basically I'd start where it began for you, as far as when you came to Kodiak here. Did you come here to fish, or was it?
Yes, I came here to fish in July of 1964 to fish Dunn's Nest Crab.
So you got here right after the earthquake?
Right after the earthquake.
Was Harold here before that?
No, he was here at the same time.
So you both came up at the same time?
Both came up at the same time, on the same boat.
How did he, what, I guess, I'm assuming that you're accompanying your dad.
That's
and
correct.
And it's just...
I was working for him.
Yeah, okay. So what, maybe where I could start at, a little bit anyway, is where, what spurred him to come to Kodiak after an earthquake?
Well, we were gearing up to come up here when the earthquake happened, and that almost made us not come there. But we went ahead and
decided
came anyway.
We
decided to go anyway, and we stayed in Southeastern and fished Dungeness till July, and then we came over here and fished Dungeness craft around here
in the Ketchikan and
around Juneau.
Juneau,
that's where we spent the first couple months after we left Oregon, and then we came here and Dungeness fished, and then worked into King Crab, and then
were you working for a cannery, and did the cannery own the boat?
No, Dad owned the boat.
Yeah,
he owned the boat. In fact, he stayed here for, we just came up basically that time for the summer. We wound up staying like a year. Then he sold the boat and went back to Oregon, and I got a job and stayed here. That's where I stayed with the boat. When he sold the boat, I got a job with the new owner and stayed here.
What was the name of the boat?
Elva V.
Elva V?
It was here for, it's been a few years now. It sank, I'm not sure when, but a few years back. But it stayed here in Fish Dungeness for a long time after he left.
You were fishing in the Southeast for what, from just a few months?
Yeah, just a couple months. Dungeness crab out of Juneau, then we came. The crab was slow there, so we went over here where it was supposed to be better.
The intent initially was to eventually come here anyway.
The intent was just to come up to Alaska for the summer, wherever the fishing
best
was.
Fishing.
Yeah, wherever the best fishing was.
Had he been fishing for the crustaceans, the crabs, before that, down in the Washington waters then?
Down in Oregon, yeah, in Oregon. And he had been to Ketchikan a few years prior, and it was good fishing, and you know, when he was younger, and then when he come back to Oregon, then as he got going, he was coming back up to do it on his own. He went up with somebody else the first time.
Is it just you and he on the boat, or is there?
No, there was, when we came up, there was just him and I, yeah. Mom
mm-hmm.
was on there too, though. Mom was there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So then when we got up here, there was just two guys on deck to work, you know, once you get fishing. It takes two guys.
Was this kind of a daily thing, or did you guys go out for a few days?
No, it was a few days. Week, maybe. You know, about a week was about the longest. Down to Ugat Bay.
Now, that's just out of the port where you buy your groceries and stuff at, but as far as actual fishing, you're not talking about being out and gone underway for that week. You'd go in somewhere else?
No, you'd be out of the bay. You'd be out of town. Yeah, you'd be out of town. Just anchor up at night and fish 4 or 5 days, and then come back to town and deliver.
How big was the boat?
It was 50 foot.
That's a good size boat. So four people?
Just two.
Just
three. Three. Two crew members and the skipper.
Oh, okay. So there was just one additional person to yourself.
Yeah.
To act as the crew, and then your dad was skipper of the boat.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, 50 foot's a good size boat for 50 people. Of course, most of it's accommodating crab pots and that.
Right.
So.
It's not a lot of room after we've built that.
Now, crab pots aren't the 7x7 footers that.
No, they're 36 inch. I mean, they're 36 inches wide.
Now, they. Okay, they're round?
Yeah, they're a round pot. So. We did that for just that first year, and then he went back to Oregon, and I stayed there and got a job. I stayed with that boat when he sold it for a year or so, and then I got another job and progressed into the king crab fishery.
Yeah, okay. You hired on to another crabber? Okay, so you're staying with the crab fishing?
Yeah, I stayed with the crab fishing. I went on. I went to work for Jerry Google on the Widgeon.
The Widgeon?
I think that was about a 58 footer around town here. It's not here anymore now, but I don't even know what happened to it.
I got to write some of these names down, otherwise I'm forgetting like the name of the boat your dad owned there.
It was the LV.
Okay. And that was Jerry?
Jerry Google.
Jerry Google.
He's still around. I haven't seen him in a long time, but I know he's still. He may live over for a while. I fished with him for a couple of years. We're starting out king crabbing. When I got up there, then I went shrimp fishing. Had a chance to run a boat for a cannery. Cannery owned boat, and I went shrimp fishing.
Was that considerably different fishing than crab? You're net fishing, right?
Yeah, it's a little different.
Yeah.
I did that. I started that. I switched over in about 68. I run a cannery boat for shrimp for a couple of years, and then I went to Alabama and got a new boat for the cannery.
And when you started working for the cannery, did they require any kind of licensing? How did you how'd you get in the door there?
I was on boats that was fishing for that cannery anyway.
And so they knew you.
They knew me, yeah. Then I got worked my way into where I got to run one, and then I got to go south and get him a new one. And then after I did that for a couple of years, I went south and got my own new one in 73.
Just keep saving the pennies.
Keep saving and trying harder. Went down there and got a 100-footer in 73. Came up here and shrimp fished for, it's been a year or so, and then shrimping kind of went to pot. There wasn't any more shrimp, so went king crabbing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. King crabbing really took off. I'm sure that they were doing it before, but it took off in the 70s, right?
Yeah. When I fished it in the 67, we were doing good, but the price was like 9 cents. I remember we went on strike to get 11 cents a pound. The cannery was offering 9 cents. When I was shrimp fishing, we were only getting 3.5 cents a pound for shrimp.
There's something wrong there, because I know that you go to the store, and I'm sure that when you guys went to the store and you're seeing $2 a pound for the same thing that you just sold it for the day before for 9 cents.
Yeah, no, we were on strike for quite a while for 2 cents. So
somebody's making a whole lot of money.
Then when it went, it went from that first time when we worked so hard to get 11 cents, and then it was up to 20 and 30, and then it went right on up. And
it started climbing.
It was
pretty
in
good
the
wind.
70s. In the 70s. I don't remember exactly. Early 70s. Mm-hmm. It got up, where we were getting a buck and a half and stuff like that.
Well, apparently the fisheries hadn't kind of caught on
the
marketplace.
The marketplace was. Either that or the cameras were doing real well.
Yeah, that's true.
And I know they were. Some of them were buying back then. I mean, they made big money. But fishermen were making big money too. I mean, if you go out in a couple of days and throw your boat, you didn't have to have a big high price.
Yeah, because if the shell, well, I don't know. How much, do you get a lot of meat out of it? I don't 60, eat a lot of.
60%.
60%
is meat. Yeah, you take a 10-pound crab, you're probably going to get about 6 pounds of meat. That's about the recovery you get. varies from, you know, you can get 64, you can get as low as 56. We kind
of. Yeah, because, I mean, once you got the meat out of the shell doesn't weigh anything. So, I mean, you've got some internal parts there, you know, with gills and and whatnot in the main body of the shell, but still, there's even parts of that are edible.
It's about 60% recovery most of the time.
What do you think happened to the fishery? I'll ask a real provocative question here, and
I think we overfished it. I mean, I don't think it's as bad right now as they say it is. I think
they're being overprotected.
I think they're being overprotected. Okay. I mean, I think we hit them too hard. We all know that. But now I think they're being overprotected. I think we'll have a season.
Are they trying to let them get older? I mean, because like a good-sized crab is what, 5 years old? How long does it take to get? I know the different species in there.
8 years or something.
8 years.
I think 8 years on king crab.
Before you get a decent.
You know, then they're big. Yeah.
They're market size.
Yeah. I think some of the, down at the fishing area, I forgot some of the shows, you know, I think along 6, 7, 8 years is about really big enough to, big enough where you can do something with them.
Okay. I was going to try to get some of these things read. I don't know if you're familiar with Paul Anderson?
No.
He's
National Marine Fisheries Service. Mm-hmm. No, I don't.
He was able to tell me a little bit about crabbing in general. I'm sure that well, he kept digressing and getting real technical, and just kind of left me behind. I was looking for the other folks, the fish and game folks that are here in Kodiak, and when I mentioned the Patricia Lee, his eyes lit up, and he was just basically impressed with the work that you're trying to do out there on the chain. I did start to try to go through one of the papers here and came across a hairy crab. Mm-hmm. Now, you're not fishing that, but it shares the same waters that your brown crab does.
It does, really, but not. They're not very plentiful. That crab is not plentiful where we're at. Where we're at, we're fishing the golden, the deep water crab.
So you're fishing what, south of the chain then?
Both sides of the chain.
Both sides.
Yeah, okay. They're all over out there. I mean, that sounds too good to be true. They're not all over, but they're right. Both sides of the chain and in depth of 300 fathoms or so.
Is the gear considerably different? I mean, can a guy get into all kinds of different fishing, crab fishing?
With the gear we have? Pretty much. I mean, we can fish tanner crabs. We fish king crab. We fish red king crab, blue king crab, and golden king crab, all with the same gear. Right now we're fishing the golden king crab out there, and it's been good, but it's the same thing is likely to happen there that has happened to the others. I mean, we've already hit that real heavy too. I mean, I've been talking to Fish and Game about it and trying to get them to do something to save that fishery before we don't have it, like just like the one we don't have here. I mean. Yeah. We started out fishing there, we were using 50 pots. We were pulling 50 pots a day. We had 150 pots out there total. We were catching the same amount of crabs as we're catching right now for the same amount of time, except now we're pulling 200 pots a day and we have 1,000 pots out there. That should tell somebody something.
You've got 1,000 out there. 200 have crabs in them, the balance?
No, we're pulling 200 every day. And we're catching the same amount of crabs as we used to catch when we were pulling 50 every day. And we only had 150 out there. So you don't pull the same ones every day, they sit 2 or 3 days. So, but now we have 1,000 of them out there and we're pulling 200 150 to 200 every day.
Okay, it used to be you pulled 50, and now you're 50. Pulling four times that amount.
Four times that amount. We're catching the same amount of crab, so it's going fine. But we're a lot more efficient. I mean, we're just doing things a lot different now. I mean, we've learned a lot about it. So,
are you spread out a little more? Or?
No, not much. We're staying in the same spot where we're fishing the same spot where we started 10 years ago. And just, I don't think we're not wiping the fishery out, but I think the potential to wipe it out
it's being taxed.
It's definitely there. I mean, right now there's probably only four boats out there fishing. If we ever get 15 or 20 boats decide to go out there and fish, I mean, we could damage that resource, I'm sure. Wouldn't take long either. But I'm sure they're aware of it. They know exactly what we're doing, I tell them.
In the heyday of the king crab fishery, how many boats were out there roughly?
Not where we're at. See, we're in the heyday of that fishery. I mean, there hasn't been, the most that's been out there is about a dozen that fish for these kind of crab. It's a little bit more difficult to fish these than it is red king crab. It's because of the depth, and it's just not as easy. You got to work at it a little more and be set up to do it. A lot of guys just never invested the effort in getting geared up to do it, and we did. So we haven't even been to the Bering Sea and fished the easy fishery. We just go back out to ADAC because there's only two boats that'll be there. There's no competition.
Yeah, nobody's stepping on each other's toes.
Yeah, we're not fighting over who's going to face where.
Are you having to compete for space for different kinds of fishery, though? I mean,
if you go to the Bering Sea, there's 300 boats up there.
The draggers?
No, the crab boats. There's 300 boats up there to fish king crab for a week. Out where we're at, there's only going to be two or three of us, and we'll be there from November till August.
You're fishing at a slower rate.
It's a lot slower, yeah. I mean, you got to work at it. It's not as fast a fishery as what the king crab, the red king crab is. So
now these browns, they're how big are they?
They're just like a regular king crab. Same thing, except they're a golden color, brown instead of. When they're cooked, they turn kind of a bright orange instead of a red. The regular red king crab, they'll turn red.
So it's kind of a cousin of that.
Yeah, it's related. It's basically the same thing. Yeah, except that it hangs out in deep water. It's got a different technical name. I don't know what it is. It looks and tastes. It's got to be the same thing. I mean, it's not much different.
Well, when did you give up the fishing part of it as far as being an active fisherman?
About 4 years ago.
About 4 years ago? Okay. Just because of your time?
No, it's a number of reasons, I guess. A good friend of mine was lost on a boat that sank, coming up from Seattle, and his wife was a good friend of my wife's. She decided maybe I didn't need to fish anymore. Couldn't tell. It hit her pretty hard when they didn't find him. Boat sank, six guys were gone.
Is this Corzine?
This was another one. It was
a friend of yours. This Corzine would have been here.
Relative, yeah. He was
your cousin.
Yeah, cousin. Yeah, no, this was just a friend, and she wanted me to stay home, and I stayed home, and everything went good enough. I mean, the boat, I had two other guys that could run it. They were taking turns. In the beginning, we were all three going to take turns. When my turn came, they decided, really, they didn't want to take a trip off, so they'd take my turn, too.
Is there a certain talent to making this fishery work? I mean, from a skipper's standpoint.
Yeah, it takes not everybody could go do it, I'm sure. But fortunately, I have two guys that were with me that they could both do it. And that's one reason why we've done so well. I mean, they stepped right in there. They're doing just what they should be doing.
I know that when I go fishing, I put my line over the side, and I hope that I don't catch an Irish Lord, and it's typically what I end up with, of course. But
it's a tough thing to explain, you know. there's a lot of times you just can't pick out what it is, but one guy can just do a lot better than the next guy. Not because he doesn't do, not because they both don't work hard. Some guys just can do it. Yeah, they can do it, some guys can't. It's a tough one to figure out what they're going to do. I don't know, I have guys running other boats, a couple other boats too, you know, that go out there and, I don't know, they do fine, but they don't do as well as...
Not as productive as
another individual. The two guys that I have on the big boat.
And Patricia Lee?
They'd be productive if, no matter what boat they were on.
Oh, she's going down late at right now.
Yeah, she's down late at right now.
She pretty much is a Dutch Harbor boat in Alaska?
Pretty much. Yeah. Two months at ADAC and then back to Dutch Harbor for a week. And back to ADAC.
And where she gets her fuel and that as well from Dutch?
Yeah. Come in every 60 to 70 days. We refuel an outfit and go again, and then August we go to the shipyard, do our general maintenance, and then back for November season again.
Where did Patricia get her name from?
Ex-wife.
Huh? Okay. you got a crew of what, four on there?
No, it's got a crew of 12.
130 foot?
Mm-hmm. 130 foot. Crew of 12. It varies from 10 to 14. Right now we're with 12. We're processing everything.
Mm-hmm. So they set their 1,000 pots, and every day that they're out, and they're just picking up 200 of them?
Every day they pick up 200 of them. The pots wind up soaking 5 to 6 days before they see them again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a big circle they got. I mean, they're all there, and they just start, go through them all. When they're done, they start over. Every day, boring thing to do, but that's...
Well, yeah, okay. And that's a part that, if you're talking to, say, somebody else that has to have a little faster lifestyle, okay, standing the underway watch, I take the 4 to 8. Nobody wants it because they don't, first off, they don't like getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and it just is kind of a boring time. I don't find it boring. It's just a nice time of the day, and I enjoy the hell out of being out there. And
well, see, I don't know. This is not, they work 18 to 20 hours every day.
So as soon as they're finished with their set, they're steaming on toward the next set, or
it's right there. I mean,
whatever it is, be it a circle or whatever shape, it doesn't matter.
No.
But they just keep moving right along.
They just keep moving right along. You get done with
so the there isn't like, there isn't like a break of 12 hours while you're getting to the next set because they're there.
There's no 12 hour break. There's a couple of spots where they may have to run for 2.5 hours. But by the time they bait up, do general things that they have to do, there's no time to take a nap.
So I understand that.
Don't have anything?
I was just looking through some of the article. I didn't get a chance to read this one here. There was a couple of things I wanted to do. I saw and wanted to ask you about here. But I mean, I can see where stuff like this would be twofold for what your dad may have been thinking about. Well, you've got a crippled fleet up here in Alaska, and the town needs the money. It's going to come from the fishing boats ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
And so the timing is extremely opportune for both you and he.
He had some doubts about it. In fact, he almost didn't come because he didn't know what was down. The canneries were wiped out, or a good portion of them were. I mean, you know, then who's going to process?
It wasn't. It wasn't any apprehension on his part because of an earthquake or a tsunami,
no,
so much as
no,
it was.
As it was, where are you going to sell the crab? Or right. You know, if you can't get a market, what can you do?
Then you got to haul this stuff
back. That's the reason we didn't come out here for the first couple of months, is because we didn't have a market out here. We had a market in Southeast, so we stayed there while he worked on putting together a market out here. We finally came out here and fished with King Craig.
And that was July?
That was in July of 64.
What was the town like at by then? I mean, was it still a pretty good mess?
It was a big mess. There was a boat right downtown in the middle of town, Mary Ruby. It was about a...
Still washed up and hadn't been pulled out.
It was like an 80-foot boat, big one. It was right up about where Crafts is now, is where it was. I mean, it was pretty well... It was something to see. It was very interesting. It was a long time getting things fixed up.
When did they get the Star of Alaska, the Liberty ship?
Oh, that was something after that. That came a lot later. I'm not sure.
So who is he selling to? Just one of the floating processors?
Well, King Crab Academy down here. King Crab and Punk Crab. They were still there.
Functioning.
Yeah, they were still there. Okay.
Was there ever a time that you were scared, afraid for your life out there?
Not really. I was scared a couple times, but not. I didn't think about dying or anything like that. I thought about saving the boat.
Yeah.
That's all. And we did that, so. I don't know. If we wouldn't have, we wouldn't have to worry about it, I guess. But.
Have you had to contend with severe icing or anything like that?
Yeah, just once with icing. Most of the times that I had, where I was concerned was when I first started shrimp fishing around here, and it was due to my own ignorance, overloading the boat. I remember a few times we had to shovel part of the shrimp overboard, coming home because the weather was bad. The first shrimp boat I ran, it packed like 90,000 pounds. I made it to town with 135,000 pounds on it once.
You're right to the gunnels, aren't you?
You know, yeah, I mean, it was... Decks awash. I mean, we was going for it, and I can remember almost not making it, but we did her every time. So, I mean, I wasn't thinking of dying. I was just thinking of catching more.
Yeah, and getting back with the boat.
Yeah, getting back with them. And I think back on a few of those times, and I think I was very lucky. You know, I mean, we did extremely well. We took a lot of chances and got by with it.
Yes, really
lucky.
The reason I ask is there's been one opportunity that, you know, we're in the Coast Guard, most of our stuff is just steaming, you know, patrols and that sort of thing, going from point A to point B. And the boat we're riding is just not meant for open ocean, but yet they would send us down to North Carolina, with a boat that's got a 6-foot draft and it's 36 feet to the pilot house.
Mm-hmm.
And she rolled and rolled and kept going in a sharp table that weighs 500 pounds. I wondered.
Yeah,
really did.
Well, I had put us down here on the south end where we come out. We headed out of the anchorage about 2 a.m. Me and another guy were sitting upstairs. We were just visiting. There was another boat cruising alongside. It was blowing about 40.
Where's this at?
Down the south end of Kodiak. Okay. Down to Sabides.
Okay.
We came out and we have those round hatches on the deck, and they go on that particular boat. The whole side of the boat was void. There's nothing. There's just a big space.
Yeah.
And that manhole to get in there came off, and it was blowing like 40. We were going along, and the water was slopping up on the deck, filling that thing
sure.
up. Well, it took us like an hour and a half to get out to where we were going to fish. It was blowing, so when I slowed the boat down, she just laid right over on her side, and that whole thing was full.
Free surface.
And it just laid her over, and there was a big blower coming out of that void that blew air into the engine room. The water was just shooting in there, into the engine room, and the boat was laying over, so I just stuck her back in gear and turned to keep that side up, and the other guy ran down the engine room with stuff that thing full of rags, and we got the pumps going, and another boat that was standing by there, he told us if he was on there, he would get off. And we kept her upright, and we got her pumped out. Took the day off, we went back in the bay. We didn't fish that day. Just, we didn't even know it. I mean, everything was fine until we slowed down, and the minute we slowed down, she just laid right over. So we just turned into it, and kept it up enough that we could get the thing. It was just...
What boat was this?
Icelander.
I've heard that.
I still have that boat. It's in the shipyard right now. But I mean, it was...
Where do you go to the shipyard?
Went to Oregon, down to Reesport.
Reesport, mm-hmm. Okay.
Fred Wall.
I'm really in construction. That's what he...
Yeah, that's where we went. That's where we went.
Said Patricia Lee, and his eyes popped open, and he says, yeah, I know him.
Yeah, no, he did a lot of work on Patricia Lee for me when he was in Newport.
Okay, up the coast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he put all the processing gear on Patricia Lee. And now he's got that shipyard down there. So.
Is he upriver from the bridge,
just,
101
just,
bridge?
Just above.
Just on the other side?
Yeah, just on the other side.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
That's where they put the iron.
Is that right? Yeah.
That's where I met Laura.
I see. Oh.
And that's the storyline.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. That Fred didn't have it though when the ironwood was there, dude. Well, I think back then there was somebody else had it.
This is 84 when I met
Laura. Fred was in Newport then. He's just taken the ship over there in the last 2 years, I guess. He's doing all right. He's good. Does good work.
I wish him luck. That's a tough business.
Yeah, it is.
He'd have to be a tough person in that business, for sure. Oh, yeah.
See what else we got there.
Okay.
Many of your questions answered, but I'm not
well,
to write
we'll,
on.
Yeah, we'll finish it up, I guess, with this guy here, because is he the guy at
Horse Blue? Yeah, he's with Christian Game, I know him.
Okay, yeah, he told me to go down, and I was going to try to follow up on this, too, and this is what you were talking about, the gold.
He has
gold browns? Are these the same
thing.
Same
golden king crab, yep. He has a good article he wrote on that. Is that what you were going to get from him?
That's what I was going to get
from him. Yeah, you should get that and read it, then you'll know about that golden crab.
Okay, I'll do that.
He's very knowledgeable about it, and he wrote a good article.
Yeah. Met him. He's enjoyable to talk to.
Yeah.
Less of a technician and more of a fisherman almost.
Yeah.
At least that's the sense that I got from him.
Yeah.
This fella here is
he's more
technician.
Yeah.
He just kept going.
Exactly.
He starts laying his Latin descriptions of these animals, and
yeah.
It was very interesting. I the mating of king crabs is, I guess, quite a thing.
Yeah.
To see, they get into this huge, this
wow.
3-4 foot stack of of females and a pod.
Yeah, let's be called a pod. Yeah, that's right.
Cash in on a couple of pods. you know, get yourself some.
But maybe, see, that might be why we have such good fishing sometimes. I mean, I lay down there sometimes when you can put a pot down, you can get 200 crabs in it, and you can put 20 pots all around that pot, and the next day you'll still get 200 crabs out of that pot, and you won't get any on the rest. I mean, so
they're right.
Sometimes they are concentrated, and,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's. But there's times when you can get 10 in a row with 100 in them, too. You know,
all spread out.
Yeah, you know, spread out a little bit, but still pretty thick to get that many.
Mm-hmm. So you've got the Icelander, Tricia Lee. Now, is the Icelander yours?
Icelander, I own 25% of it. Huh? And, Echobell, I own 20% of it. Patricia Lee, I own 100% of it. And the KDS Samoans.
Huh?
The KDS Samoans. The little one. The
yeah.
50 footer. The Dan Bell. That's Sam's boat.
Did you see that one?
You haven't seen that one?
Mm-hmm. No.
The 52 footer here. The fish is howling. The fish tanner crab there this year. I had it leased out. That's the one Dad built for Sam. For my boy.
Yeah, that's right. Larry was telling me he's built several boats.
Yeah,
I guess
he built this one just 2 years old now. He built it for Sam.
And the name of that one?
KDS.
KDS. And that's here?
Yeah, yeah. He brought it up himself. That I leased it out to somebody else to fish.
I'll probably try to sit in and talk with your dad.
He'd be a good one. He will be up there. But I just haven't figured out for sure when. It depends on the weather. If we start getting real good weather all the time, then I'll probably have him come up because I want to put this boat out and have him
take a look at it.
Yeah, there's a few spots. I know there's a spot where it's leaking.
Is he more of an engineer than a fisherman? Is that what he likes doing?
Yeah, he likes doing that kind of stuff. I mean, he's a good boat builder, a good carpenter, working with wood and stuff. He can do just about anything. He does real well.
Is that what the KD is?
Yeah. He built it. He went and cut the trees down and took them to the sawmill and helped them make lumber and took it home and dried it and started building the boat.
Oh, I definitely have to see that boat.
It's right over here in the boat harbor. Yeah, you'll have to get a chance to come in and look. That's the first time up there. The first time I leased it to a kid, I got a guy to take it out house and fish. The first 24-hour opening had 45,000. He sailed right out there and landed in the right spot. Turned up real good. Well, should we head back over?
Yeah, I suppose so. Are you interested in taking a look through some of this stuff? I picked up some of this stuff. I thought maybe you'd be interested. There was this thing here that I picked up from my coastie friends, and this thing on Life Ring.
I joined that,
mm-hmm.
belonged to that. I already have my license.
Okay.
Now, I
didn't know how much of this stuff you've seen before.
Yeah.
So.
No, I have.
Okay.
I did that Life Ring thing. I did just do that. Who's on the spot?
Bruce here.
Oh.
She came to the grocery shop.
I'm going to be over there. We're just getting ready to head back.